General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
One of the oddest stories ever to come out of the African bush was related to me by my old friend Inspector David Templar of the Kenya Police. David was a policeman for 30 years. He was an enthusiastic hunter, although when he ventured into the bush for pleasure, he left his guns at home and armed himself only with a 35mm reflex camera. As far as I remember, David Templar never shot an animal during the whole of his time in East Africa, not even for the pot. Essentially, my story tonight began when my policeman friend went to question a young man about a murder. The young man lived at the Nairobi YMCA. That in itself was peculiar, of course, but stranger still is the tale related by the murderer to Templar and by Templar to me. It all centered around Peter Wright, a lion, and Edouard Lalo's Symphony Espagnole. The story I have called Lion Allegro. The YMCA in Nairobi is a pleasant place to live. I've stayed there several times during the last 20 years. I'm a great hater of modern hotels and only go to the New Stanley when I'm forced to. So it was to the Young Men's Christian Association's hostel, with its beautiful swimming pool, tennis courts and self-contained flats, that David Templar motored on a hot, sticky December afternoon. He was shown the block in which Peter Wright lived, told the warden he would go alone, and climbed the stone steps to the third floor. Number 20. He stopped and knocked. No door. David recognized the Walton Violin Concerto. And then the door opened, and Peter Wright stood before him, dressed in a pair of ridiculously floral-patterned American shorts and the kind of cheap Asian-made rubber sandals they call flip-flops or tackies in Kenya.
Yes?
Mr. Peter Wright.
Yes?
Inspector Templar. May I come in?
Yes, I've been expecting you. Come in.
Thanks.
Hold on, I'll just turn this down.
Walton.
Yes, that's right.
Francis Cuddy.
Yes.
Oh, don't turn it off. Philadelphia Orchestra. Symphony Espanol on the other side.
You've got a good ear.
I've got the same record.
Oh. Beer or something? It's cold. Not on duty. I mean, it is Kenya, not like London, where they've got to be all official and stiff. I mean, you don't even wear ties out here. Hold on.
Templar already liked the young man, but he watched him closely just the same. His call wasn't, after all, social. The room was scrupulously tidy. Many books, a cupboard with its doors ajar, stacked with long-playing gramophone records. A large bowl of bougainvillea in the window, which was curtained with brightly coloured material from the bazaar.
Here we are. I hope you like Tusker. It's ice cold.
Thanks.
No, I will turn this off. Will you want statements and things?
Mm-hmm.
Cigarette?
I don't, thanks, but you go ahead. Sam?
You want to know why I did it?
I'd rather you didn't at this stage, anyway.
Can I talk to you first, before we go, I mean?
Certainly.
Right. Well, sit down, shall we?
I'll stand, if you don't mind.
No. It makes me nervous. I can talk better if we sort of sit.
As you please.
You want to know why I killed Hansing? Well, it's a bit strange, rather. You like music. I do, too. Devil of a lot. But have you ever heard of a lion who did? Really like music, I mean. Sit and listen to it.
Templar had heard a lot of odd things during his career in Kenya. I mean, Kenya's an odd country, but it was the simplicity, the gravity with which this question was stated, that made him raise one eyebrow and nod for Peter Wright to continue without making any comment himself.
I often go out into the bush. Alone. I just like to be in the bush. I get a lot of time off from Watson's. I'm out here on a pretty good salary. And apart from building up my record collection, I've become jolly keen on animals and birds and, well, just wandering around the place. Now, I don't take photographs or anything. I've just got a tent, some fishing gear. That's for Lake Naivasha and trout up in the Kinnikop, and my cooking gear. I've seen most of Kenya and lots of Uganda and Tanganyika and the Northern Frontier District, too. Well, about 2 months ago, September it was, I went down to the Athi, a few miles past Bushwhackers. You know the place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I forgot. You've been here a long time. Mustn't try to teach Grandpa to suck eggs. Well, anyway, I camped not far from the Athi, on the other side of a sort of a donga. A lot of thorn around, pretty dry. Rains haven't touched the place. On the other side of, anyway, I've got a transistor gramophone I always take with me on these trips. I love music out in the bush at night. And this night, I was playing the Lalo. You've no idea how exquisite it sounds miles from anywhere. Miles and miles of blooming Africa and Lalo's Symphony Espagnole. I had quite a fire going. I'd caught some tilapia, hadn't grilled, a bit muddy, but good with baked beans. I was just lying there, listening to Lalo, to the crickets, to Africa. I'd played some Walton, the English dances of all things, English dances in the middle of Africa. Walton and some Debussy nocturnes. I was going to hear the rest of the Lalo, have a cigarette and turn in, I remember. Well, anyway, I lighted my cigarette. Had a swig of beer, a bit warm, burying it in the ground doesn't work all that well. And then I saw the lion. It was the biggest one I've seen, ever. It was a he-lion, huge mane, sitting about 30 yards away from the fire. It was sitting perfectly still. And it had its head sort of cocked on one side, like when you make a high-pitched noise to your dog and it tries to listen, strains to catch the sound waves. Well, anyway, the lion was doing just that, perfectly still. I wasn't scared. It was listening to Lalo. It sat like this for about 10 minutes. Now, I don't know how long it had been there before I saw it, and after a while, I turned the gramophone down slightly, just a bit. I don't know why I did this now, for the first time, that is. Do you know what happened? The lion sort of craned its neck, like it was trying to listen. And then the lion got up and walked forward and sat down, no more than 19, 20 yards away. But I still wasn't scared. I don't know why, but I just wasn't. Still, he had his head sort of cocked. He was listening, I swear it. And then I did what was really a stupid thing. I had to experiment, you see. When I turned the music down, I'm sure the lion came closer because it wanted to listen and couldn't. I proved this was true then because I turned the gramophone down even lower. And he didn't do anything for a moment. And then he stretched forward, full length on the ground. This brought him closer, of course. He seemed about 9 feet long. With his head on the ground, it looked as if I could touch him. And then, do you know what I did? I turned the music up again. Now, you're going to think that this lion got up and moved backwards again, aren't you? Well, so did I. At least I thought he might. I was trying to make him do that. But he didn't. He just stayed there, absolutely still. I wasn't a bit frightened, what then? But one thing was at the back of my mind. What happens when the music finished? It was the last movement, Allegro. Beautiful. I couldn't quite see what the lion was looking at. It wasn't me, anyway. And then, suddenly, he got up. And then I did feel a bit scared. But he didn't come any closer. He just turned around and vanished. Would you like some more beer?
No, thanks.
You don't believe me, I suppose.
Oh, stranger things have happened. I've heard of stranger things. Where does Hansinger come into the picture?
Ah, well, can I continue? Hansinger does come into it, of course, but there's something else first. I stayed out there near the Athi River for about 2 weeks. The lion came 6 more times. He liked Mozart, too. Oh, please believe me, I'm telling you the truth. You see, he didn't come every night. Once about 4 nights running, then he missed 2, and then once more, intermittently, see? And then he didn't come for about 4 days. Well, my time was pretty well up, so I went back to Bushwhacker Safari Camp. Hansinger was there. I told Ray Robbins and his wife, they run the place, about my lion, and they laughed and said I'd been drinking. But Hansinger was very, very interested. Took it very seriously.
There are so few really large lions left in the East African territories today, Mr. Wright. Tell me, you took no camera with you?
No, I'm not a photographer.
I see. Mr. Robbins does not believe your story.
Ray thinks I'm a bit cracked, anyway. It's true, all the same.
Do you think the lion will still be there? I mean, if you and I were to go again, would he come back to listen to your music?
Well, I don't know. I'm not very well up on lions.
Would you take me to this place, Mr. Wright?
Take you? Well, I'm due back in Nairobi the day after tomorrow.
Would that matter? Could you not extend your leave?
Well, I've already had
to. Be unwell, perhaps. I tell you why, Mr. Wright. I'm most interested in your music-loving lion. To come so near to the fire like he did. Take me there, won't you? To the place.
I should have gone back. I realize that now. But I suppose I wanted a witness. It was clear that no one was going to believe me otherwise. I'd already seen the story in magazines, pictures of me, you know, valuable addition to modern nature research sort of thing. Well, I suppose I could take a couple of more days.
Excellent. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Well, okay. He always came at night. I was camped there in the day as well. Played the gramophone then, too, but he never came then. Tomorrow. Right. So we went back. Hansinger took a tent, too, although I told him we could both use mine. And he took his cameras as well. Now, I said I thought that flash and stuff would frighten the lion away. So he said he wouldn't use it. I hadn't seen the gun, though, until he unrolled the tent. That gun.
Oh, meet Daria, Mr. Wright. She's Russian. We travel to all places together. We are excellent companions. Daria is a .375
what
caliber...
What have you brought it for? You're not going to shoot anything.
Shoot? But of course not. All the same, I go no place without her. Walk in the bush and not be armed. Oh, Mr. Wright, please.
Well, I've always managed okay. And there's nothing much around here. A few elephants, but they won't trouble anyone. Rhino, but there's plenty of trees to go up. My lion must be the only one for miles. You don't need your gun.
But you do not expect me to run back to bushwhackers with it, do you, Mr. Wright?
No, but just keep it out of the way. I hate guns.
Oh, but of course, I hate them too. Except I... you see, she has saved my life. Twice. Once in Tanganyika, once in Sierra Leone. My friend, I know Africa. My present is my 10th trip since the war.
He kept his Daria not far away, though. It stood against the side of his tent. He kept looking at it. We ate some tinned meat and fruit and stuff we brought along with us. It was very beautiful out there. One part of me was glad we'd come back. At least I'd come back. But another part of me was worried. I've always been alone on these trips. I prefer my own company. And all the time I noticed Hansinger keep glancing across at the rifle. He got up a few times, walked around the camp, and then I told him if we wanted the lion to come, he'd better sit down and I'd play some music. When he did sit down, it was away from the fire, close by the tent, and the gun. But my lion didn't come. Not that night. He didn't put an appearance the next night either. I couldn't stay any longer.
One more night. One more, Mr. Wright. I mean, I want to believe you so much. I mean, such an extraordinary story.
That did it, of course. He knew it would. I want to believe you, meaning, of course, he didn't then. It was the most beautiful evening I'd ever known. I wish so much that I'd been on my own. I'd put on the Lalo again. The two preceding nights, I'd played some Walton, his violin concerto, and of all things, Telemann. But this night, I'd decided on Lalo. The same that I was playing the first night I saw my lion.
Perhaps Beethoven would bring him out of his home. Or Bach. Alternatively, Wagner would make him dance up to our fire and do a pirouette.
Fritz Kreisler said that Zeno Franciscati, he's the violinist here, he said he was the greatest violinist of his day. Sitting in a chair and someone comes very quietly into the room. You can't see them, but you can hear them, feel them rather, eyes in the back of your neck. Well, I felt like that. I'd been looking into the fire, watching all the pictures, lions, ships, faces. I looked around very slowly so that Hansinger didn't notice. He was almost asleep. He didn't much care for the Symphony Espagnole. I looked around slowly, straining my eyes, making them hurt. 25 yards away, my lion. He was my lion, really my lion, no one else's. We had a pact. We'd made it that first night. And this night he was looking straight at me and listening intently. I know he listened, eyes like two great saucers in the firelight, red and gold and sometimes yellow and emerald. They seemed to dance up and down. My lion, the biggest lion in the whole world he was. He was huge.
So?
Still. You'll scare him. Now, watch. It's all right, Hansinger. Leave it. No!
He
was all right.
We were going to charge.
The snake to the music.
You hear?
Like a dog. Like a big dog. Would have beat you!
Why'd you have to spoil it? Why'd you have to come here? Why? It would have been all right.
Give me the rifle. Give it to me.
Stick to the music. That's all. There are many lines left, but there are plenty like you. Too many like you.
Give me the rifle.
Yes, take it.
The rifle.
You sure you won't have any more?
No, I won't, thanks.
And then I hoofed it back to Bushwhackers and told Ray Robbins what had happened. He sent out a couple of his blokes, and they went and brought Hans, the German, back. I was surprised that nothing had, well, tried to eat him or anything. I'd still have told them what had happened and that, but, well, I was surprised after all. Ray came back here with me, and I told the police. But they didn't arrest me or anything. You going to
arrest you? No.
But it'll follow, won't it?
Mr. Wright, that's not for me to... Well, get your coat out, Sam, will you? Tell me, how do you know nothing at Hunsinger, as you put it?
Yes, I shall tell the warden to... Well, give him the key and that... In case I don't... Well, I just assumed, I suppose.
Keep the key, Peter. Tell me, you've never used a gun before?
Gun? Me? Oh, not until then. No. I hate guns. I just like to watch the game and... Well, I've never seen any sense...
No, but you shot how many times at Hunsinger that night?
I don't remember. Hundreds. I was afraid... He was a murderer, not me. Well, at least I didn't mean to. I don't see any difference between murdering an animal that wasn't doing anybody any harm and a human being. Well, at least my lion wouldn't have done anyone any harm if he hadn't been...
It didn't occur to you that Hunsinger was doing what he had to do, kill the lion because it was charging.
But it was his fault.
Sure, it was his fault. But having put you both in danger, he had to get you out of it.
Yes. I didn't think of... I've got another copy of the Symphony Espagnole. The other one was... Just a minute, I'll...
Before you come down to headquarters, I'll just tell you something, Peter. First of all, don't ever take up rifle shooting, will you?
Huh?
Not game, anyway. You won't live long. If you can't hit a man at 5 or 6 feet, it's unlikely you'll ever hit an elephant. At 50. You didn't look at Hunsinger after.
What? No. No, I went to the river. Didn't sleep. I went back to Bushwhackers. What are you...
There were no bullets in Hunsinger's body.
But... I don't understand... He fell. I saw him. I turned the gun down on her. At least I think I did.
There were no bullets in Mr. Hunsinger.
Then, Inspector, Hunsinger's still alive?
No.
But...
Mr. Hunsinger was gnawed by a hyena, unfortunately. Luckily, the beast already had a full belly. Wasn't very interested in our friend. But you know hyenas, they can never resist something extra. Terrible greed they have. But the post-mortems revealed that our Teuton died from a heart attack. When I said, luckily, the hyena wasn't terribly interested in the body, I meant it. If it had finished him off, then we'd never have known, would we? You would have got up in court and convicted yourself. As it is...
What?
Well, you didn't shoot him, did you? Get yourself a good lawyer, will you? I'll give you a number to phone. Don't quote me, because I'll deny. Get your coat, Peter.
After a long legal tussle in Nairobi, Peter Wright was acquitted. The Crown, Kenya was still a British colony then, didn't even make the charge of attempted murder stick. David Templar retired soon afterwards. He lives up at Naivasha now. He's farming. Peter Wright went back to England, but still writes occasionally to the inspector. Odd business. The gramophone fiend who lived at the YMCA was so nearly a murderer. Good night.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.